Psalmist said. He said, "Where can I go from your presence?" You know, Jesus is eternal, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And sometimes we go through things in life that are really, really difficult and really awful. And sometimes we can say, "Well, Lord, where are you?" But I just want to tell you that he was there. And that I just want to pray, actually. Father, I just pray for all the difficult things people have been through. And I pray, Lord, that you would show them where you were and what you were doing and what you were saying. Father, we don't go through life and without you being there. And Lord, it doesn't stop things happening to us, Lord, but you are there. And I just pray that through this service, and even now, Lord, you would show people where you were and what you were saying and what you were doing in their lives. Father, I just pray every heart, every deep part of our heart, Father, you would minister to today and you would change in Jesus' name. You would heal and restore in Jesus' name. Amen. Wasn't expecting that. First slide, please, Olivia. Thank you. So many, many years ago, I used to look at these scriptures and I used to think, boy, what does that mean? And how do I apply that? So I'm just going to read them out. Then Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and yet he himself is destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." And then Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is you shall love the neighbor as yourself." So as I said before, I used to think, what does this mean? And how do I apply it? So when I used to be, I used to think to myself, well, okay, I'll do a bit of a word study. And I'll say, well, what? Let's break it down. Let's look at each word. And I looked at the word deny, which means to deny utterly. I thought of the thing, take up your cross. And I thought, well, that's the place your Jesus died, but that's the place where I die. And then I thought, well, follow him. Well, I can do that by being led by the Spirit and the Word of God. And then I thought to myself, lose my life. And I thought to myself, what does the word life mean? And I found out the word life is the Greek word soul. And then, don't worry about that meaning for the word cosmos, because I put that in the wrong order and it's in the wrong place. So just ignore that at this stage, okay? That's an oversight on my part. And then I looked at the word love. And it's the Greek word agape. And it's the God kind of love. You know, in 1 John it says that God is love. So that's that word. And it's the love when he puts a spirit inside you and you have love. You don't have to try and manufacture that love. You just suddenly love. So when you are born again, when you receive Christ, you naturally have the love of God inside you. And you start to change. And you start loving others and yourself and loving him. Because he's given you that desire. So part of my understanding of that previous scripture was to understand the nature of God and the nature in which he's created us. So in the scripture, God reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We use the word Trinity, but it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And one of the ways in which that is reflected is in that he created us. and he created us spirit, soul, and body. Who's heard that, those terms before, spirit, soul, and body? Right, very good. So, actually, I'll get the guys to stand up. I'll get the three guys who I've asked to come up and grab three chairs from the back, and then I'll introduce you to the guys. And Jono will be the spirit, Cam will be the soul, and Nick will be the body. So Jono, you're first, so Cam, could you just wait there? And if you can come up. Jono, yeah, just stay there, and maybe sit down. Give him a round of applause, everybody, and you're doing a great job. So Jono represents the human spirit. Now, the human spirit is eternal. Its focus is relationship with God, spirit to spirit. When a person is born again, his spirit, the spirit of God, bears witness with God's spirit. So Jono, as part of a human spirit, when he's born again, he'll be in direct communication with God. God will be in his spirit, okay? Before we get saved, our spirit is in direct communication. This is not very nice, by the way, but it's reality. Before we get saved, our spirit is in communication with Satan. And our spirit is dead to God and under the influence of Satan. Now, the spirit has an emotional state. So a person can be crushed in spirit. A spirit could feel joy, but it does have an emotional state. Bear with me. We will get to understand those first verses, okay? So next, I want to introduce Cam. And Cam, can you sit next to Jono? And this will be Cam, and he'll be our soul. Let's give Cam a round of applause. Right, doing a great job as a soul. And Cam, as a soul, has three parts: mind, emotions, and will. And they're both conscious. We're consciously aware of what we're thinking, but also subconscious, okay? So Cam, yeah, those different parts. So the mind is our thinking and our thoughts, okay? The emotions are feelings, often governed by beliefs. So Cam could be happy, sad, angry, despair. He could trust or be lonely, all these different feelings. Okay, and I talked about conscious and subconscious, and last time I spoke, I talked about the word heart, cardia. And I talked that the heart is the seat of our emotions. Okay, but in this example, technically, the heart is the go-between between the soul and the spirit. But in this example, I'm going to use the word heart to represent the core of Cam, the core of his emotions, the core of the soul. Okay? And the next one, I'm going to introduce Nick, and Nick will be the body. Give Nick a round of applause. Doing a great job. So, as I said before, the spirit and the soul are eternal. Even when the person passes on, they are eternal. They'll last forever. But the body is not eternal. A little bit, yeah. And the body is temporal and is made up of brains and nerves, hormones and flesh. Before we come to Christ, the body is where a person is controlled by the body and soul. Okay? After a person is born again and comes to Christ, the person is more controlled by the spirit. But at the moment, I'm going to pretend these guys are not born again, and the person and the control of the person is more the body and the soul. They do what their body desires, and they do what they feel good. But then after they get born again, it changes. Okay, so bear with me. Next slide, please. We've got that. So I'm going to get Anna to stand up and grab one sheet. Now, remember, this example is before a person is born again. And Anna, I want you to put that sheet. You guys might need to get a little closer, okay? I want you to put that sheet all over them, over all three, please. I know you won't see their faces, but bear with, you will see them again. So it's over all three. And that sheet represents the effect of Adam's sin. Adam and Eve sinned, and because this is a human, after that, they were affected by Adam's sin. Are you all right, guys, all right down there? Great, great. Okay, now give me an example of how Adam's sin would affect the human being, the spirit, soul, and body. Sorry? Give me an example. Anybody? Anybody at all? Well, one example is Adam disobeyed God. So unfortunately, we get the nature of disobedience. So that affects them, okay? That's just one example. The next one, Anna, could you get another sheet, please? Last time I spoke about generational issues and how they affect a person. And I said that, before you put it on, Anna, I said, we all get generational blessing, all right? If somebody's got good health or something like that, then that's the genes that come down. So we are blessed. We all get the generational blessing. But unfortunately, we get generational iniquity, which is crookedness and things like that. So Anna, could you put the sheet over them? That's great. Nice pink sheet. I've slept between that, actually, but never mind. That's enough personal things. Anyway, there we are. Okay, there we are. So unfortunately, the human spirit, soul, and body are affected by generational crookedness or things like that. Now, the third sheet, Anna, thank you very much. But wait, there's more. I've always wanted to say that, actually. The third sheet is the word in Isaiah 53 is the word transgression. And that word means rebellion or revolt against authority. And unfortunately, we all get the idea of transgression affects a person's spirit, soul, and body. So can you put that over them, please, Anna? Thank you for that. Okay, right. You really can't see them now. Now, the next sheet is a little sad, okay? So I'm going to go there right now. And the next sheet is, say, for example, a woman finds out that she's pregnant and she doesn't want the child, which is a little sad, but unfortunately quite common. And that child, even in the womb, feels rejected. So Anna, could you put that sheet over, please? Thank you. And I remember years ago, you might not know this guy, but a guy called Derek Prince was ministering to a whole group of people, and he noticed that they were all the same age. And he said to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what's going on? Why are all the people, this was a number of years ago, why are they all basically the same age? And why have they come up for ministry, for rejection? And the Holy Spirit said to him, because they were all conceived during the Depression and there wasn't enough food. So that sense of not having enough food, that sense of not being able to provide for, by the mum and dad, that sense of lack meant that that all those people weren't wanted and they felt rejection. And unfortunately, that affected their spirit, their soul, and their body. It's a little sad, the next few slides, but bear with, because it'll give you a great example of what that first scripture means. So the fifth sheet represents type A trauma. Now you're thinking to myself, Andrew, what is type A trauma? Don't put it on yet, Anna. Okay, just wait. Okay, no, that's good. You're thinking, what is type A trauma? And type A trauma is simply when a person's emotional or nurture needs aren't met. And unfortunately, that's pretty common. You know, parents aren't perfect. Not all their parents' needs weren't always met, and they don't always know how to love their children unconditionally because they've got their own rubbish. But it's pretty common. And so could you put that over them, please, Anna? Thank you for that. Are you guys all right there? Okay. Right. Yeah, they are. They are. Yeah. Okay. Right. We'll just put it over there. That's great. Don't worry, guys. They're coming off one at a time. In the next year, they're coming off. No. So a child might feel anxious or stressful or, you know, I mean, you can read that, but imagine how a child feels if they're not loved or don't feel valued. They could feel abandoned, lots of different things. Okay. Now, the next sheet, Anna, is type B trauma. And a lot of people experience, well, abuse. Well, that's all I'll say. And abuse can affect people. They can feel powerless. There could be deep wounding. They could believe lies about themselves. And unfortunately, that affects the whole person, their spirit, their soul, and their body. So, Anna, could you put that over there, please? Thank you for that. Right, we're just about finished with the negative stuff, but it will illustrate a point. Could you get another sheet, please, Anna? Does anybody have any sheets close by? We're going to be here till one. No, I'm joking. The next sheet could be being bullied at school or in the workplace. Who's ever been bullied? Pretty common, isn't it, really? Pretty common. People have been nasty, things like that. It's not very nice. So if you could put that over them, please. You guys all right? There you are. That's great. And last but not least is, thank you, Anna, is the influence of people, the world, and Satan. And there are two very popular lies out there that affect people. This is the last sheet, and then they're going to go off. Then they're going to come off slowly, okay? And the two popular lies is there's no God, and do whatever feels right. And your experiences and feeling define your truth, and my experiences and feeling define my truth. And there's no absolute truth. And another one I've noticed, and it's been around a long time, is, and it's one that the enemy uses a lot, is you're not perfect. If you were like this or like this, you would be perfect. But you're not. So that builds in a whole lot of self-hatred, self-loathing, trying to be acceptable. If only I was like this, I'd be okay. If only I looked like Pierce Brosnan, I'd be okay. Do you know what I mean? No, that's right. But do you know what I'm saying? That's pretty common. It's in the media all the time. And those lies, along with many others, affect our spirit, our soul, and our body. Anna, could you put that over them? Thank you. Not another one. That's the last one, guys. The weight's coming off. So could we have the next one? Oh, no. Could you stay close, please, Anna? Because you're going to be one of the vehicles for their redemption, all right? It's pretty exciting, yeah. So anyway, they meet a person from Beckenham. These three guys, spirit, soul, and body, meet somebody from Beckenham. And that person from Beckenham befriends them and gets to know them. And for once in their life, somebody's interested in them. And somebody cares about them. And that person says, oh, what makes you so different? And they share their testimony, and after a while, the person says, are you guys all right? Are you guys all right? Are you again? Do we have any water, please? No. And anyway, it won't be long, Spirit. You'll be free shortly, all right? So the person gets born again, a prayer much the same as that. That's how you get born again. It doesn't have to be exactly those same words, but a sense you're coming to Jesus, all right? You're making him Lord of your life. You're thanking him for his death, his burial and resurrection for you, because he loves you. He took that pain and that suffering for those hours because he wants you. He wants you. He wants to have a relationship with you. You are so important. Before the world was started, he knew you. Okay, I hope these people don't collapse. There we are. And so they get born again. They become a Christian. They give their life to Christ. And I want one person to read out each of the benefits, starting with forgiven. What's the next benefit? Okay, not long. So they're great benefits, aren't they? And they're your benefits right now. You, if you're born again, you are the righteousness of God in Christ all the time. Right now, you're on Daddy's knees, and his love and his smile towards you is all the time. All the time. You can't go anywhere without him being there. You can't think a thought without him knowing it. He's with you all the time. We better free these guys, hadn't we? We better free these guys. Can I have the next slide, please? So right now, after they get born again, Jono comes out, just Jono, comes out from the influences of the sheets. Okay. Don't worry, guys, it's not long. So Jono's free. The Spirit of God bears witness with his spirit. He's a new person in Christ. He is free. And Jono is saying, thank God for this. I mean that very reverently, by the way. There we are. And that's fantastic. Okay. So, I'm losing it. I think I'll just wing it. I won't really. There we are. So the person is loved into life. But with regards to their soul, remember I talked about soul and losing your life and what did that mean and taking up your cross. And with regard to your thinking part of your soul, it means changing your mind. Repentance is a Greek word. It literally means change your thinking. So with regard to those thoughts that it influenced the spirit, soul and body, the process now is to change your thinking. But another part of your soul is your emotions. And not only your conscious emotions, but your subconscious emotions. When I became a Christian, even after I became a Christian, I used to get really angry. I had a real anger problem. And part of that restoration for me was finding out why I was angry. And behind the anger was a lot of pain. So part of losing my life, my soul life, my emotional part of my soul, was to get healing for those emotions. So the Holy Spirit could influence my emotions, and I didn't come from a place of pain. Does that make sense? So emotions are a gift from God. Your emotions are a wonderful thing. But our emotions, and I got this from Jan, our emotions are not always correct. Our emotions do not always tell us what's right about reality. And that's why Jesus said, we've got to lose our life. Lose those emotions that are not right, that are not true, that are not influenced by the Spirit of God. Emotions are a wonderful thing, but they're not always correct. And this may be on a daily basis. And you may think, well, Lord, I'm really angry and I'm really hurt. I need to get these emotions healed. I need to go to the cross and get some healing and work with people So my emotions are not influenced by the old, but by the new. Instead of acting from a place of anger or hatred or insecurity, I act from a place of God's emotions. I might start feeling compassion. The Spirit of God is influencing my emotions to act from compassion. So losing your life with regard to your emotions is a pretty key thing. Do you understand why? I hope you do. Anyway, so the next part is your will. Now, previously, the will was influenced by Satan, and we did what we felt, and we did what our body wanted, and stuff like that. But God wants to change our will, and part of losing our life or our soul is recognizing that sometimes our will has been influenced. Remember, I talked about one of the traumas, and one of those feelings that often comes is a sense of powerlessness. So you can be born again, you can be born anew, but still feel powerless, because you're acting out of those old things. So losing your emotions or your life in that sense is saying, Jesus, why am I feeling powerless? You've given me power. I should be able to choose the right things, but I'm not. What's going on? Okay, I hope this makes sense. And the next slide, please. Now, back to the sheets. Anna, could you come and stand up? And we're going to go to sheet 8, the top sheet, please, Anna. Remember, we talked about two popular lies. The first popular lie was subjective reality. And the second popular lie is you're not perfect and you need to change before you're acceptable. So this person realizes those lies, decides to lose their life, take up their cross, get some help with these lies, and puts the lies on the cross, over the cross. So, yep, thank you, Anna. And the other side, please, thank you, because we don't want it to tip over. In the Greek New Testament, when Paul is talking about the cross, one of the ways he talks is it's something that happened back then that works right now. So right now, the blood of Jesus is washing me all the time. It happened 2,000 years ago, but it's working right now. On the cross, Jesus took all our rubbish, past, present, and future. So we bring it to the cross. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, the next sheet, being bullied. The effects on us physically, the effects on our soul, emotions, and will, feeling powerless. So they're working with people, they're being discipled, and they realize this bullying, I've still got present fruit, things in my life from that bullying. So I get some ministry, I work through it, and we take the sheet off. Last time I spoke, I talked about salvation. And I said salvation, sozo, is wholeness and deliverance and freedom. And being saved in the Greek is a continual present tense. So you see the way these guys have been saved? They've been set free of this stuff. Now the next sheet, back to sheet 6, is type B trauma, abuse. In the soul, not too quickly, guys, it's going to take a while. No. And the soul is affected, the emotions, the woundedness. So we get some ministry, we get healing, we bring these things to the cross, and it goes over the cross again. Thank you. The next slide, please, is type A trauma. And type A trauma, yes, part of that involves not only the work of the cross, not only the work of the Holy Spirit, but also the work of us. Because we are God's agents to love people in the life. See, if I've never learned that I'm valuable, one of the ways I learn that I'm valuable is by my brothers and sisters reacting to me that I'm valuable. See what I'm saying? So that involves us. Part of God's answer for a broken world is you and me. So yes, we get healing. Yes, we get resurrection. Yes, we apply what Jesus did on the cross to our lives. But we also, it's us in bringing love and compassion and taking an interest in people and listening to them and walking with them and befriending them. And that builds those things. Okay. So the next sheet, sheet three. Actually, can we go back to sheet four, please? Remember how I talked about a mother finding out that they're not wanted and how it affected somebody? Again, they might go to a seminar or be discipled. They realize there's bad fruit in my life. They realize they ask the Holy Spirit to show us what it is, and they get healed, and we put that sheet over them. That's great. Thank you. Now, the next sheet is rebellion. Remember, part of the rebellious nature of Adam and Eve is they disobeyed God. They rebelled against authority, the word transgression. Transgression, iniquity, and sin were taken on the cross. Jesus took it all on the cross. But part of losing your life is repentance. Say, Lord, I realize I'm not very good at listening and doing what you say. I realize I'm quite rebellious. Even I'm born again, I'm still a bit rebellious. Well, I repent. I ask you to cleanse that. If there's any deep woundedness out of that, from that, other than the obvious fruit, then Lord, show me what that is. So we bring that to the cross. Actually, you might have take the blue one as well, because we've got one left. Yep. And last but not least, last time I spoke about generational iniquity. I said the word iniquity means crookedness, bent, being twisted. And I realized that. And I'll share a bit of a testimony. My father was in World War II, and he was shell-shocked. And I was affected by that shell shock, not only by his behavior towards me, but also it came down the line, it affected me. So when I recognized that, I brought that to the cross. I said, Jesus, I'm still suffering the effects of this. I got some people to pray for me, and my spirit and my soul were freed from that. So I could now choose him. So that's the last one. Thank you. Okay, take it all off. Are you guys, how's it feel, guys? Couldn't breathe. Right. What this is important. What else? What was it like?
Hot.
Uncomfortable? Trapped. Right, okay, kind of fun. Okay, right, okay. That's not the answer I was expecting. If we could take that from the tape, please. I wasn't expecting that answer. No, I'm only joking. So you see, these guys are free to follow God because all the influences on their soul, lose your life, they are now free. Thank you, guys. Give them a great round of applause. We're just about finished. Could you go to the next sheet, please, Olivia? So, I hope you understand what I said about losing your life. See, we are a wonderful creation, but you can see how these things affect our body and our emotions and our will and our mind. And you see, part of losing your life, yes, it's denying those thoughts, but it's also getting restoration for that. So Jesus can have a close relationship more and more. The sense in the New Testament is he wants to get closer. He wants you to feel these things. And some of the past and some of our soul life can get in the way. But he's provided the cross. He's a risen Lord. And he wants to deal with those things. So we can choose him. We can recognize, Lord, there's some unhealthy emotions there. or there's some healthy, unhealthy decisions I'm making. I want to get free so I can follow you. Deny those things, get rid of them so I can follow you. And unfortunately, it's a daily process. And unfortunately, I don't always do it right, but thank goodness we're under the grace of God all the time. All the time. And the Holy Spirit is in us to enable us to do these things. So I hope that makes sense. That's my understanding of that scripture. I hope it makes sense. Not that I'm an expert, does anybody have any questions? Okay. Well, I'm off. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed it.